Good morning, everybody. Glad to have you all here today. Will you all please stand as we open up our worship service? You know how you ever walk around your house and you just start singing a song, you get a song stuck in your head, you don't know where that song comes from. Then the next, later on that night, you're still singing the same song, and then you go to bed, and you wake up the next morning, you're still singing the same song. Well, that's what we're going to start open with today. The song that got stuck in Mike's head, because I think there's a reason that God wants us to sing this song this morning. So in your hymnals, it's page 546, or it'll be up here as well. Love Lifted Me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I'll cling, in His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs, faithful loving service to Him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows His soul obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. All right, amen. You know, we actually, in our devotional here as our team this morning, talked about this song a little bit and talked about what this song is. It's a testimony. You know, at the end of it, as I studied it this week, I was like, you know what God was telling me? People do not need to know what they're doing wrong. They already know. They need to know how to get out of it. And that's what Jesus is. And that's what Jesus did for you. And that's your testimony. What did Jesus do for you to lift you out of sin? And He can do the same for them. Amen. So with that, we'll open up with a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank and I praise You, God, that You reached down and You saved me. And You saved most of us who are here this morning, God. And Lord, I praise You and I thank You for that. And Lord, as I ask is an anointing of Your Spirit to be upon us as we praise You, God. Praise Your holy name and thank You and give You honor and glory this morning, God, for saving us. And Lord, I ask the anointing of Your Holy Spirit to be upon Richie as he brings Your word to us this morning, God. Speak powerfully through him, through the anointing and the power of Your Holy Spirit. And I thank You for it all in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Last week, we collected $85 to the Olacock State Mission Offering, adding that to the previous gift of $421. We have now collected $506 towards our goal of $4,000. If you would like to give today, there are envelopes in the pews in front of you. In your bulletin, you will find information as to how Olacock's gifts are used in the state of West Virginia. Now we will watch a video about an international mission board missionary from the state of West Virginia. Thank you.
Hey, I'm David, and my wife and I both grew up in southern West Virginia. We love everything about West Virginia, but the Lord called us from West Virginia to go serve in the Middle East, and so the First Baptist Church in Princeton sent us out, and we've been serving in the Middle East for about the past 4 years. So when we think about in and through West Virginia, and you think about giving to the cooperative program and to things like Lottie Moon, a lot of times churches specifically don't have a face to what they're giving to. And I just want to say, as a West Virginia born and bred, raised, sent out through West Virginia churches, we are the face of people being sent from West Virginia. And so in and through West Virginia, we were equipped, we were trained, we were discipled, and we were sent out through West Virginia churches. And my wife and I have served now in the Middle East for 4 years. So without churches in West Virginia doing their work, our work wouldn't be possible.
I'll please stand and we continue to worship this morning.
Your your life upon that cross. Great is the love poured out for all. This is our God.
Our sins, they are many. His mercy.
know, I am so glad. A lot of times we think that our sin cannot be overcome by God. But His mercy is so great. His mercy is so wonderful that no matter what rags we have when we go to Him, He is faithful to always forgive us. His mercy is so never-ending.
Focused on your grace that you have for us. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit rain down on this place today. Lord, that you continue to be with those who are traveling, Pastor Larry, and those who are sick. But Lord, I also lift up those who are lost, who need your help. Those who are fighting, who need your direction. And Lord, those who don't know what to do. Pray, Lord, that today as we study your word, Lord, that if I am not called to be here, if I am not called to be a man preaching your word today, Lord, that you silence my lips and you rise up the man who is. That your spirit reign through us and reign through our offerings. And Lord, you are guiding and leading and teaching us with everything we say and, Lord, everything that we do. Lord, it is in your great, wonderful name we pray. And all God's people said. Good morning, everyone. Glad you're here. As you can tell, Larry is still out on vacation. He's still working on something like 1,500 rounds away around this lazy river that he was trying to partake in. I don't know if he's going to get all 1,500 laps around the lazy river, but that's what he told me he was shooting for. So we'll see if he makes it. I know that he is watching. And so, Larry, good morning. Everybody wave, say hi to Larry. Thank you, Larry and Donna. We hope you guys get a great vacation and some peace and rest while you're out. That said, you're stuck with me again. So, last week I preached on the second chapter, or the second letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. So, 2 Timothy chapter 1 is where I left off last week, and I finished off that chapter. This week, I want to pick up exactly where we left off. So we're going to continue studying through 2 Timothy. We're going to pick up in chapter 2 today. As we're looking at it, though, I'm going to give you a fair warning. This sermon's a little different than my normal preaching style, probably more geared towards my teaching style. Mine is me asking you a bunch of questions. I only have a handful of questions that I'll ask you throughout the service. And I promise they're all easy ones, nothing too difficult like what is integrity or anything like that, all right? I've studied this text, I've prayed about this text, and as I keep reading and going over it, I find myself honestly seeing a lot of the way Paul's writing to be a lot of the way I think. It feels like he's kind of going in different directions. It almost seems like he was hurriedly writing this as fast as he could because he knew there was an end at time. He knew that there was an end very soon for him. And I felt like he might have saw some squirrels as he was doing this. And the way I read it, I felt like it might be easier to preach this, much like I would teach this. But before we do that, let's recap kind of where we were left off, right? So 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you weren't here with us last week, go back, read this chapter. My quick recap of it is this. We learn right off the bat that the author of for the first chapter of Timothy was who? Paul. Excellent. Good job. You've answered the first question. We're on the right path here, okay? And the author was Paul. I ask these questions because it kind of gets you engaged, make sure you're paying attention. But the truth is, I also have taught youth for 20 years now that I've been teaching students, and so it's just natural for me to ask questions while we're going, mostly to make sure you're awake, right, Hunter? Yes, that's exactly right. Thank you, sir. So, Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, and it was towards the end of his life. And this first chapter included, based on my sermon last week, a conversation about what sincere faith looks like. All right? So, sincere faith, these are just the points from the last sermon, was surrounded by faith, more faith, is active, it's empowered by God, it's unbending, not ashamed, and it's growing. Those were my 6 points last week, and I'm not going to re-emphasize that whole sermon here for you guys, but what I am going to do is I want you to look at that, think about that, as we're going right into chapter 2, which is what we're going to read today. So, second letter of Timothy, chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, if you have your phones, if you have your scrolls, open them up, turn them on, roll them out, or we'll have them, the text up here on the screen, because we all know that I read very fast. So let's read this. Let's study the word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 starts off like this. It says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please the commanding officer. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to first get a share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead and descended from David according to my gospel, for which I suffer to the point of being bound like a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. And this is why I endure all these things for the elect, so that they may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." And I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to stop right there because I want to ask very quickly, very simply, how many of you guys understood everything that was just spoken right now in this text? Awesome. Blake, I'm glad you are the only one in the room who understood it. Thank you, son. Listen, I'm going to be honest. I think when you just sit and read a piece of text, sometimes it's hard to discern what is coming out of that. Sometimes it's hard to sit and understand everything that was just said. And when we understand it as a letter, right, because Paul was writing this to Timothy, we don't necessarily know all of that background. We don't know all of the things that were going on just by reading this snippet, right? So what I want to do today is a little different. It's much more, like I said, closer to my teaching style, is I want to break down each one of these verses individually and show you kind of what's happening here as we elaborate and come to a conclusion. So we're going to slow it down. We're going to go back to the very beginning. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says this. It says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." All right, so this is the question and answer portion of the sermon today. This is, you is who? Timothy, right. And he is like a son to who? Paul. He's like a son to Paul. Timothy is the one we are addressing. Paul is the one who he feels is like a father to Timothy. But in this specific moment, he says, be strong in the grace. Now, last week I specifically said what grace is, right? Grace is an undeserved mercy, right? So what he's saying here is be strong in what is undeserved or what you don't deserve because it's from Christ. This is a huge part of the walk as believers. We need to look at this. Brothers and sisters, we got to look at this because the truth is you didn't deserve salvation. Now, I know that sounds a little offensive in today's day and age, right? Because in our standard society here, in the candor that we have with one another, we oftentimes say, well, you deserve the best, right? And we wish everybody the best, and you deserve happiness, and you deserve all these great things. And I gotta be honest, you really don't deserve anything, okay? I'm not trying to be mean, but we don't. Right? You're not entitled to all of these great things that we make it out to be that we're entitled to. Should you get great things? Sure. But you gotta work for them. You're not entitled to them. You are not deserving of them. The difference here is one thing. God's grace is given to you even though you don't deserve it. God loves you even though you don't deserve his love. And he shows mercy to you even though you don't deserve that. He saved you despite you not being all that we're cracked up to be. So what Paul is trying to encourage his dear friend, his dear son, Timothy, to say here is this. He's trying to say, hey, listen, God's got you. He's providing a strength for you. Pay attention. Well, why would he tell Timothy that? Why would he encourage someone who's like his son that God will provide him strength? Well, I think it's really important to understand where Timothy was at in his walk at that point in his life. Timothy was in a lead role in a church. Timothy is starting to see how tough life gets. He's no longer with his mentor, his trainer, right? He's no longer with his fatherly figure who tends to protect, right? As parents, we tend to protect our children. As managers, as leaders, we tend to cover the people around us, right? Timothy's starting to see in the tough leadership role that he's in how tough life is, how difficult things can be. And the truth here is he's even starting to see how difficult it is to deal with life's circumstances. He's finding how hard people's lives truly can be. Something that is something you don't have control over. And what Paul is trying to support and protect his friend, his son in, what he's trying to do is he's trying to push him to the Lord. He's trying to lead him to the understanding that it is through God's grace that we are strengthened. Something that we all need to hear. We all need to be encouraged by. Because listen, I gotta tell you, it's a hard knock life out there. Right? Things do not always go our way. Trust me, and I will be honest and say that I usually tell people it usually goes better if you just listen and do what I say. However, things do not always go our way. Sometimes life just goes in a path we don't want it to be. Sometimes we just wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Sometimes we make mistakes, we fail, we fall short, and that's hard sometimes for those of us to deal with. But God provides a strength through his mercy, through his grace. But he doesn't stop there. In verse 2, it continues, and he says this. He says, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Well, this is looking at Paul trying to remind, that's right, Ezekiel, that's exactly right. Future preachers, guys, I got to tell you. So, listen, he's trying to remind him of the work of a leader and what that is. Well, the work of a leader is to find those of the faith who are committed, who are standing the test of time, to serve beside them as well. the work of the church is not just the work of Pastor Larry. The work of the church is not just the work of Pastor Rich. And the work of the church is not just the work of Pastor Zeke. The work of the church is exactly as it stands. It is the work of the church. So to be clear, to be very clear here, the job of a pastor, if you didn't actually know this, is to train the church. That's what the pastoral role is we are to train, we are to teach. We are to lead and train additional leaders. Larry has been doing that for years. Right now, you might be thinking maybe he didn't do so great of a job. You put me here, but maybe not. Right? Larry's been training me for 17 years. He's been pouring into me. He's been pouring into several other leaders along the way as well, where we work with leaders and teachers and we develop their ability to teach and train. This is what Paul's trying to tell Timothy, that you've got to do this, and you've heard me tell other people, right? He says, heard me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men. This is important for leaders to do because in our life as leaders, the objective should be to train other leaders to do what we do. This is not a solo job, and this is not a job that it's all about me. It's about we of the church. And that is what Paul's trying to encourage Timothy to do, to keep the faith, to be strong in the faith, and to train up the next leaders that can also teach the next set of leaders. This is why, church, it is so important that we focus on youth and children ministries within the church. Now, I know this seems like a small tangent, but the truth of the matter is, I'm not going to be here forever. Not specifically to open door, but rather that I will not live forever, right? Pastor Larry will not live forever. And many of you, my brothers and sisters, will not live forever. And if you celebrated a birthday this week, you probably feel like maybe I won't actually live forever, right? That's that feeling usually when you roll across another birthday is, man, it's another year, but I'm not going to go on forever. But the truth of the matter is, those next generations, they're going to outlive us. They're going to continue what we have started. My friends, my family, the children are incredibly important. And it's funny because we those of us who are around it, we love listening to them talk, right? We love laughing as they're getting all excited and they're making the noises. We are blessed here at Open Door to have children around us, especially when they're making noises. For those of us who are parents, yes, I know it does not always feel like a blessing when your child is the one making the noise. Let me be very clear. I've had plenty of people give me looks, especially Travis gives me looks when the kids are, you know, acting up and making noises. But we're given looks because it's funny when Blake's talking and he thinks he's part of the conversation. Yeah, you laugh over there, buddy. You can talk to Miss Beth later on when she comes back from vacation and ask how many times she gets referenced in a sermon and how many times you will also be referenced later on, buddy. Listen, church, our job, not just my job, not just Larry's job, not just Zeke's job, our job is to raise up the next generation of leaders. It's a community. We work together for that. And we are better together for that. Because to be honest, we don't all have all of the same skill sets. Travis is very gifted with the children. His ability to teach and train the young children is incredible. I speak to him and I look to him in that because I've watched as my kids have gone through his teaching, his classes, and have learned great things. Barb, even though she's not in the room right now, does an amazing job in the preschool department. Why? Because Barb and I have sat and laughed and talked about some of the lessons that Lana would come and talk to me about after the fact. And while there were some questions, not always children fully understanding everything, she has a gift. And she's sharing that. And church, that's what we all need to be doing. We all need to be pouring in to these children because they are coming up and they will be the next generation of leaders and teachers. There's a lot of teachers, there's a lot of leaders, and there's a lot of you that are doing that, and that is our role as part of the church. But I get off track a little bit here. Let's keep going. Verse 3 says this. It says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ. Share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ. This verse is not a recommendation. Notice the wording there, right? It doesn't say, share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ if you get time. It doesn't say, share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ if it's convenient. It doesn't say to do it if it's easy or maybe even that if you can. No, it says share in the suffering. So what's that mean? It means that we need to be there for one another. We need to love one another. We need to support and guide and teach and lead one another. And listen, we're all on different journeys, all right? I got to be honest, what Travis does in his life as a school teacher or what Heather does in her life as a school teacher is nowhere the same path and direction that I deal with in a retail store on a given day. Immaturity of people may be similar, but for the most part, it's nowhere the same as what we deal with on a given day. What I do in terms of retail management is nothing like what Matt does in terms of running his construction business. I mean, we still have to deal with people, but that's nothing the same in terms of what we do. Look, when you are in your walk, in your path, in your journey, whatever life is going in your pathway, you're going to deal with different things. And you know what? Sometimes we have to struggle together. Sometimes we need to be there for one another. Sometimes we just need to talk about what we're going through. I know several of you reached out last week over some of my stress and things I've been worrying about. And to be honest, a lot of it is superficial. Because I'm changing jobs. And so in the process of all that, it's the fear of the unknown. Okay? And I've talked to a lot of my brothers and sisters in the future of what is going to happen. And I've just talked about some of the things I'm stressing about. And it's not that the talking solves the problem. It's that talking gets it off your chest. My little white car, for those of you who already knew, I got into a small accident that dented the front end. By dented, I mean I tapped somebody and my entire front end smashed. Their back bumper popped off a little bit. Well, in the chaos of all of this, my insurance has now totaled my car. Reasonably so. I kind of expected it, to be honest. But as I've been dealing with that over the last 2 days now, the conversations that I've been having with my brothers have been the conversations of what to do next, what vehicle to get into, and the advice that I've gotten from my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And the truth is, I've got people who are just being beside me. They're talking with me. They're laughing at me through the journey that I'm going through, and they're there to support. But this is all superficial stuff. This calling here, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ does. It's more than just the superficial. Listen, I don't know what you're going through, but maybe you're struggling to make life choices. Maybe you don't know where you're going to get your next meal. Maybe you don't know how you're going to pay your electric, your mortgage, your whatever. Maybe you just don't know what God is trying to tell you to do with your life. We got to find the brothers and sisters who are here for us to share in the suffering, because that's what we're called to do to one another. It brings me to Matthew 16, 24. It makes me think of this verse. Jesus tells us pretty simply what we need to happen to follow Jesus, right? He says, then Jesus said to his disciples, 16, 24 of Matthew says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. We have to deny ourselves. Okay? It is not all about you. Toby Keith has a great song. I want to talk about me. I want to talk about I. I want to talk about number one, oh my, me, my. And I love that song because it's hilarious. And no, I'm not going to sing it. All right? But I'm not going to torture you in that respect. All right? But that song very much has us me-focused, me-centered, and I. But the truth of the matter is, believers, that we are called to be so much more than that. We are called to deny ourselves, to struggle with one another, to support one another, and that's what we need to be doing. We need to have our eyes focused on others and the world around us. Now, I said in the very beginning that I felt like this segment of 2 Timothy was kind of distracted. And I say that because of the way the next verse starts off. See, he goes from all these conversations to verse 4 where he says, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please the commanding officer. Okay, so Paul has three analogies that kind of come up next. He talks about the soldier, then he's going to talk about an athlete, and then he's going to talk about a farmer. And so he kind of goes into this discussion of these three different analogies. So the first one being the soldier, Paul points here and says, a soldier, what's his job? To please the commander. What pleases the commander? Well, the reality is, whatever the objective is that needs accomplished is what pleases the commander. Soldiers, he says, don't get caught up in the world around them. Soldiers are to be focused. He says it more specific. He says no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. The note here that I have is that we're to put our eyes on God. Right? We got to get out of being trapped up in the entanglements of our world and our worldly chaos. But verse 5, he says, if anyone competes as an athlete, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Well, we look at the athlete and, well, that's not really accurate of today's day and age, right? They kind of give everybody an award anymore. But the truth of the matter is, if they are not playing by the rules, they don't get crowned, is what he says. If you're not playing by the rules, you don't get the prize. You see, the thing is, we have to follow the path that the Lord has designed for us. We have to follow the Lord's rules. We have to seek Him, which means we should be pursuing righteousness. That doesn't mean that you're perfect. It means that we are trying to be like Christ. Very, very clear here. Anybody who's perfect, raise your hand. All right, Callista is the only perfect one in the room. It is only my family that is causing... No, I'm just kidding. Listen, there's nobody perfect in here. Right? However, we all are pursuing righteousness. Listen, some of us messed up last week. Some of us messed up yesterday. Some of us already messed up today, okay? But we need to be pursuing Christ and pursuing walking like Christ with everything we do. And the last one, the farmer, the hardworking farmer ought to be the first to get a share of the crops. The farmer analogy is to look at the reward. There is a work, and the hard work eventually pays off. It may not be today. And as somebody who is a firm believer in prayer, I will tell you that when I pray, God doesn't always answer it today. For those of you who have children, it's God's time, not our timing. Okay? This powerful note for believers, though, is the encouragement that Paul is giving to Timothy. He's trying to encourage him, and as he's also trying to encourage us. The encouragement is with the reminder of what he said in the beginning, that it's through Christ that we can do what we do. But verse 7, he takes a minute here and he says, consider what I say, for the Lord will give you an understanding in everything. The way I read this, the way I perceived the writing of this is Paul is stopping for a second to take a breath, right? And kind of reminding Timothy to do the same thing. He's saying, look, consider all the things I've just said, and the Lord will be the one who gives you the understanding. It's not our understanding, it's not our wisdom, our insight, it's God's understanding through us. Verse 8 says this, it says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended from David, according to my gospel. Now, this is really important. 2 Samuel chapter 7, and there is about 15 verses in there that explain this. The prophecy of ultimately David's lineage. Okay, so for those of you who are Bible scholars out there, or those of you who like homework, go back, look at that verse. I'm not going to preach on that entire text. But what is significant here is that Paul is reminding of the lineage from David that Jesus had, and not just that, that he's saying, look, Jesus rose from the dead, he descended from David just as the scriptures said, and this is the truth that I'm telling you. Verse 9, for which I suffer to the point of being bound like a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Paul is bound. He's in chains. He's being punished. He's being treated like he's a criminal. You guys can stop me, just like they stopped Paul. You can shut me up. You could prevent, you could take down the stage and make it to where nobody can come up and preach all you want. We could take down the church. You could kill off every single pastor that we know. Because you can bind the people. But you cannot stop the word of God. It cannot be bound. It cannot be stopped. Because the word of God is not just bound by us. The word of God and God's love is in the people. It is through the people. And that's what Paul is trying to say here, is that it can't be bound. Verse 10, though, says, this is why I endure all these things for the elect, so that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. See, this reminder here, basically Paul is saying, hey, the whole reason I'm doing all that I'm doing, the whole reason I'm allowing myself to be put to death, essentially is because I know people will get saved for it. because Paul firmly believes that there is a bigger picture than just him. Because Paul understands that it's not just about me. And this last little bit here, verse 11 says this, saying is trustworthy. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he still remains faithful. For he can't deny himself. To live our lives is to be like Christ. To endure the sufferings, the ups and downs of life, is to reign with him and to be faithless. It doesn't matter if we are faithless because he will always be faithful. Now, I know I have talked a lot and about a lot of different things and a lot of different pieces of what Paul has told Timothy today. And like I said, this is a little bit different in that I'm not giving you a 3-point standard sermon, or even like my last one, a 6-point sermon, right? What's different with this, and I want to challenge with this is this. I think the message of this text is a lot, but I think the message we can all see is that strength through grace in Christ is the focus. Now, that means a lot more than just what it says. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean that, listen, we have to seek Christ as our priority, because the grace that he gives us will provide us strength. And there's a lot of pieces that go to that. There's a lot of conversations that we can have along with that. There's a lot more than the ramblings of your youth pastor here at Open Door about this text. I'm not going to sit and tell you what you need to work on, but rather, I want to let you look at what God's working on you with. So let me summarize this text with one challenge, with one sentence for you before the praise band comes up, and that's this. God's people need to rely on his grace to provide strength, wisdom, and love. Where are you at? Let's close in a word of prayer as the praise band comes up. Gracious Father, I thank you for this day, for your love and your mercy, for your grace. God, as I've studied your word and I've preached your word, I pray, Lord, that I do this not for my glory, not for my strength, but, Lord, for your glory, for your honor. The privilege we have to study together, Lord, I pray that you are glorified by what we say and by what we do. I pray, God, that in everything we talk about, that we are pushing, challenging, and growing one another towards you. Lord, it is in your great name we pray. And all God's people said. Thank you.
Thank you, Richie. We all please stand.
Set free, amazing grace. treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel, the world to see your eyes in me.
This week, I pray that you see what God is wanting you to see this week, that you chase after his faithfulness and his grace, and that you have a wonderful rest of your week. Thank you all. You're dismissed.
Oh, I can see it now.